Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all, this Sunday, this is the diary. This is Stacey and Ray coming out of SAC every Sunday from 3 to 4. Say hey, Ray.
Hey.
And today, of course, we are continuing on our ever-ending journey to teach black people about black stuff and how not to be too black. But this week, today, and for the next month or so, we're going to talk about today. We're going to continue with black apathy in the black community. We're going to also start a series from a paper written on the black man or black people in America, and it's called A Common Destiny. We're going to go over that for the next month, and we're going to detail it, and it tells about our black history from the 60s to current day and why we are the way we are and why they think economically we're stuck where we used to be. And it's very interesting, and we're going to go over it, and I hope that everybody will tune in every week to go over the facts, because there's nothing more important to me than to help my black people succeed. And now, you know, I feel very lucky, first of all, to live in a time where I can get on a radio station without having money. You know what I'm saying? All I have to do is afford internet access, and I can let my voice be heard, and other people's voices can be heard. And you don't have to depend on a bunch of Jesse Jackson type or Al Sharpton or Oprah to give you hope to do things every day, because honestly, they're not doing that. Nobody's doing that, and that's why we're here trying to do it every week. So we're going to look at that common destiny thing, and it really equates America's destiny with the destiny of black people. So that's kind of right now, if you think about where America is right now, where black people are, we're probably in the same place, and that's just about right. So
good point.
You know, so.
Yeah, very
cool. We're going to continue with our look at the black organization here in America to see if they're actually doing their job, which I already know they're not, but we're just going to talk about it anyway. And today, Ray's got some information on the NAACP and the National, which one did you have?
Action Network.
The National Action Network. So we're going to talk about those two people, go over what their mission is, those two organizations, what their mission is, and what Ray has discovered. And, you know, are they doing what they're supposed to do? You know, quit fronting. Right now in America, for black people, people just need of all races, really. But my main concern always are my black people, but black people everywhere just need to quit front. There's nobody really that's, you know, Oprah had to just say, I like to eat, right? She had to quit front, right? She had to say, damn it, I'm going to eat.
You know?
I can't care. I'm going to eat. I'm 50 and I'm going to eat. I got money, I'm going to eat. If I can't keep it off, too bad. You ain't got no kids anyway to leave all that to. So eat. And do something good with your money, Oprah. And, okay, so, and then we talk about my week just a little bit, because I'm more interested in what my people are doing right now than what I'm doing. And then we're going to ask some other topics that we forgot to go over, the Access to Justice Initiative, right, Ray? We got some stuff on that today?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, we're going to talk just a little bit so you'll know what that is. And then I personally want to have a good laugh on all the Rhode Island teachers that got feet flipped, all of them. All of them, every last one of them. We forgot to talk about that last week. And there's just so much. The American Taliban dude that got caught, right? We talk about all the bad things that so-called President Obama isn't doing or whatever. But since he's been president, more Taliban major people have been captured since 9/11.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? But we're not talking about
absolutely.
That. So, you know, I want to mention that. And then Planned Parenthood in the black community, they're making a big thing out of that. So the diary is always jam-packed with good things for my people, for me to talk about, for me to share. And, you know, I'm turning this thing around because I'm so mad about everything that's going on, and what you put out there, you get back. So we're going to stop being mad. I'm personally stop being mad. And most of my shows now, music included, is going. We're going to focus around unity. We're going to focus around peace. And we're going to focus most of all, Ray, is around the reconstruction of the black community, of black people, black culture, black history. You know, when we go over the things that I've found, you know, we should be ashamed of ourselves, and as long as everybody can grin, right, and act like they got something.
Yeah.
And as far as black people are concerned, everybody's happy. So black apathy in the black community, it needs to end. So my music now for these next couple months, you know, my first song, we're going to play music. Right now, we're going to take a break so we can get on with the get on. And the first song we're going to play is Community, because,
oh,
you know, without
perfect.
Community, you know, and that's what I'm trying to build, you know, a community of people that say, you know what, enough is enough, we're going to stop fronting, and we're going to do what's best for our people, for our culture. So let's listen to Community right now, and we'll be right back. This
okay.
is The Diary out of SAC every Sunday at 3, from 3 to 4. Your host, Stacy, your co-host, Ray, and please give us a call, 917-889-9946. But here's Community, folks.
Right on.
All right. That was Community, and that's what we're going to be talking about from now until forever, until black people get their crap together. This is The Diary. We come out of Sacramento every Sunday from 3 to 4. I'm the host and the director of the Association of African American Single Mothers, and Ray is my co-host here with me faithfully. Whether I tell her off during the week or right before the show, she's right here. So it's all good. Right.
It is.
It's all good. So we got a lot of stuff. Like I was telling Ray, we got more stuff than we got time for. But everything I say I want to talk about, I want to make sure we do. So we're going to start with the small stuff first.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to talk about first, just so people know, what the Access to Justice Initiative that our president has assigned a commission
right.
for. Just so people know, because the good stuff they don't ever put out there about what he does, and especially what he does for poor people.
And he's done a lot already.
And he's done a lot already for poor people. So the Access to Justice Initiative is a commission that he's assigned people to go out there, because being an American and being in America, when you are accused of a crime, you have a right, your constitutional right is to proper attorney and representation. But because of budget cuts and Republican presidents over the past 10 and 15 years, they've cut that out. So basically what that meant is poor people didn't get proper representation, and Lord knows poor people in the 80s needed representation for all them crack crimes they got accused
of. And that is not having equal protection
right.
under the law.
Right. So what the president did was to open a commission to get that going again, and they call it indigent defense. And when you're indigent, that basically means you're homeless, you're poor. And, of course, if you're poor, you're going to get the shaft. If OJ was a poor black man, well, he's in jail now, but he would have been in jail then. You know? You know? Oh, stop, stop. Let's not talk about OJ. OJ comes up no matter. OJ was coming up on SportsCenter.
That's true.
Okay? They were talking about OJ on SportsCenter. He ain't picked up football in 30 years, but he was on SportsCenter.
Of course.
For killing people. Anyway, anyway, so Indigent Defense, our president's opened up a commission where he's given millions of dollars to get that going again so poor people can get proper representation so they don't just automatically get the shaft, is what they usually do because they have to represent themselves or they don't have representation. So access to justice. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, he's going to go out there and do those things for poor people, but of course they're not going to applaud him, but we will right now.
Right on. Come on, audience.
Right on. Right on, President Obama. All right. Now, my personal favorite, Rhode Island teachers. Well, just last week ago, whatever, poor performing school in a poor neighborhood, and all I heard on the news was most of these teachers make $70,000 or more. Most of the students live below the poverty level. So somehow they equated their poor performance or whatever, and all the teachers got pink slips. Every one of the teachers was fired because of their poor performance and the students.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, once again, that's going to get my personal
what?
Cheer.
Oh, really?
You know, but because if a teacher is really getting paid that much in a poor neighborhood, you know, they should have it, they should feel an obligation to make sure those kids are doing what they're supposed to do. There are a lot of things that cause students to fail, but one big one is an uncaring, unmotivating teacher.
True.
You know, and when you're already living in a home where there's nothing going on and you go to school where they really don't care, but they all jumping in Lexuses. Somebody put the two and two together and got rid of those teachers. Thank God they did. So every school where all the students are failing but the teachers are getting paid, they need to get rid of them. I mean, America really, to me, I mean, all the corruption that's been going, we need to start from scratch on a whole bunch of levels. You know, and it's because the teachers have their jobs so locked up because of the unions and everything else. They've been able to do whatever they want to do for the past 20 years, 30 years, and we got to solve the problem. Yeah, you're a teacher. You know, if you see your job is to teach a student, if you see this student is failing, you're not doing your job.
Right.
Go to the union and say, all our students are failing. What can we as a union do to make it better, considering we get paid every year?
That's true.
And, you know,
individual activism on the part of the teachers who were there on the front line to see what's going on does need to be
I mean, it needs to be stepped up.
But I will say really quickly that the district and the state have a lot to do with stamping out the morale of the teachers by not listening to any of their complaints and actually tying their hands behind their backs when it comes to trying to do something creative in their own classrooms. Happens more than we know.
Well, I need to know.
$70,000 in Rhode Island, as it would be in California, is nothing.
Well, still, it's more than poverty.
It is, but think of what they're trying to do, too. They do have to be a little bit of a babysitter. They do have an unruly classroom
they're
a lot
teachers.
Of time to deal with.
Well, and they're teachers. They're there every day. They're on the front lines. They are the ones that know what to do.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
Saying that they need to step up
they
and
need
make
to step
their
up.
Voice heard in the union.
Right.
But I also know that the unions work hard in defense of them and the students. In the face of people who don't want public schools to succeed,
I'm so happy.
Educate.
I'm so happy you. See, that's why I like you because I'm so happy you have that opinion because I don't when it comes to public education.
I think
and how they treated my family
right.
as a whole.
Right.
And once again, they treat girls different than they
well,
treat.
And
you
wait,
hold on.
Very individual
hold on.
Thing too. You're
right.
individual,
right? And they treat girls and boys different. I got girls and boys.
Mm-hmm.
My girl, like your girl, had a wonderful experience in the public school system.
Socially.
Yeah, every
socially.
Way. And
but not academic.
Mine
no,
did.
Because they shocked girls on
okay.
a lot of math.
But this isn't
and
what
black girls
but all I'm saying,
have a lot of
wait, hold on. That's what I'm saying is, okay, I'm glad you have that experience.
Right.
teachers' unions going out there, but I don't. Mm-hmm. And they treat girls different. And all I'm saying, my perspective is, I'm glad they all got fired. They didn't get fired because 49% was doing good and the other weren't. All of them. They got fired for a reason.
Right. No.
So let's go through. You know what? Let's go through and do this in wake-up calls.
Yeah.
We get wake-up calls every day as
absolutely.
Black people. We always get wake-up calls. So maybe the other ones will do what they need to do.
And you know what? Any fix that you're talking about in this weird education system that we have here in this country now is a good one.
Right. And because it all needs to be fixed. And we're over time.
So I loved arguing with you. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm glad. Like I'm saying, I'm glad somebody had a positive experience with the public school system, but then again, I did too with my daughter.
I'm saying just a teeny bit, because I'm not saying that it's positive all the way for me either. I'm saying that maybe what we're the complaint area should not be laid at the feet of somebody that is at the front lines and at the runs. It's like blaming the soldier for the war.
So you're telling me the district office is responsible because these teachers have low performance?
Absolutely, because they bore them to death. They tie their hands. They make them teach to that stupid NCLB test. I can go on and on.
No,
yes,
no.
I am.
No. Well, you might be, but that's not the problem with the public school system.
Okay, well.
Next, American Child
of Opinion, Stacey. Love it.
Well, I'm talking about facts, though.
So am I.
No, the facts are that half of the schools in Natomas are about to close
right.
because of these same teachers.
It's not the teachers. It is the systematic.
So you're telling me the teachers, those teachers do all that they can.
Not everything.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Not every single one, but that's just across the board fire.
Come on. No, they don't. When have you ever seen, you want to say your part, and then when I say my part, it's time. No. When have you ever seen all of the teachers ever fired in a school district? Obviously, there was a problem. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay. No, come on now.
Do that here.
Oh, we love them. They're crying. We love the students. Now you do now.
Okay.
Let's
all right.
Stop.
Good point.
All right. So, American Taliban, just like this access to justice.
Okay.
Something good that's happened in our president's time. Not getting the credit for it. He's American dude, went over there, caused a lot of trouble speaking for the Taliban to Americans about what's going on. Been over there for like 6 years, and they finally caught his ass. So,
wow.
And that's just today. So,
wow.
All right.
Breaking news.
All right. Planned Parenthood, we're going to push that one off to another time. Right?
We've got to touch on it a little bit.
Okay. But wait. We got time. We can go over.
We're fine. I just
We go over when I'm pushing my phone. I'm not listening to you. All right. Planned Parenthood. Now, I'm wrong for not going over the organization that Dr. Martin Luther King's daughter is she's part of some organization that's fighting Planned Parenthood. Because the Planned Parenthood now has put up these posters, endangered species and a black child. And what she's saying, her organization, we got to get that for next week, what the name of it is. I don't know what it is. It's Dr. Martin Luther King's daughter.
Her organization made those signs. They Planned Parenthood.
Okay, tell me. Okay, you tell me. See, I don't even know.
Her organization made the signs sort of refuting the work that Planned Parenthood is trying to do.
But see, are you sure about that? Because she said species, and then she said, well, they're describing our children as species, not even human.
Okay, well, let's look over the information then.
What I'm thinking is Planned Parenthood put up the sign.
But they're also... Maybe it's their HIV ad.
No. Let me tell you what I know. Planned Parenthood put up the signs endangered species in black neighborhoods. And what Dr. Martin Luther King's daughter is saying is that Planned Parenthood is targeting black communities, black women. And I guess stats show that although we have more of, there's more of us, I guess we're having more abortions than any race of people. And Dr. Martin Luther King's organization saying that Planned Parenthood is specifically going out there and targeting black women to have abortions, and what she's saying is that it's genocide, and they're putting up these posters in the black community, Planned Parenthood, endangered species, come see us type shit, where when they do go see them, they're talking them into abortions instead of life.
Oh, okay.
So that's the issue. So that's what Dr. Martin Luther King's organization was all about. And then she said, well, first of all, a black child is you're characterizing them the same way you would characterize a animal instead of a human, saying endangered species. You know, and even I've said the black man's an endangered species, so I don't necessarily know
right.
that, you know, that right. that's
it's
what...
been something that's been...
Yeah,
a lot
yeah,
of time
in different ways, you
yeah.
know, for, by different mm-hmm. people. So what she's saying is she's trying to get those down, and it's a form of genocide, and Planned Parenthood is just helping the right or whoever, whatever, helps to eliminate black children. So that's what that issue's all about. But yeah.
And what chapter is this? What state is this in?
Well, I think I've actually seen some here or seen, maybe I've seen them in that they post them in low-income neighborhoods. I think I've actually seen them here in South Sacramento of down flooring, okay? And I am in agreement that the black child is an endangered species because, first of all, my personal opinion, there's not enough black people within their family that care. And then people outside of the family don't care.
Right.
And then, yeah, so,
that.
Yeah, we're all.
And they're also in danger in their own neighborhoods.
Right, right.
From
just being stupid.
And they're in danger in the other neighborhoods for
right.
being black.
Right.
Because they're always following around
right.
stores.
Right,
accused of things.
I mean, they follow me around.
Oh, me too.
So that's
me?
Crazy.
Oh, me too.
So, yeah, that's what that's all about. So, you know, we're going to get over the small stuff. We're
it's
talking
not
about
because we're beautiful, Stacey. It's because,
well, it's because I'm beautiful. And they're trying to figure out what I am with these dreadlocks, I think, is what it is. So. But, yeah, so, you know, we're going to talk about the small stuff. I think we're going to end that a little early. My time might have been off a little bit. But we're going to end that segment early because we need to come back and talk about
right.
stats on black people. We're going to come back and talk about the three black organizations and the missions and
right.
they're doing what they need to be doing. So let's take another break.
Okay.
And because, once again, what's my new theme? Here's my new look. What's my new theme?
Unity, peace, and reconstruction
of black society. So my next song for our wonderful break is Shade, something about sun and shade. Right on. Oh, Lord. Okay, sun through the shade, because you know what? Right now, there's a lot of darkness going on, not just in the black community, just in America,
uh-huh.
period. A lot of, so, you know, I tried to pick songs with beautiful, nice, wonderful, you know, words and stuff. So, sun through the shade. That's what we are. That's
okay.
what the AASM. This is a diary come out of fact every Sunday between 3 and 4, me and Ray. And go visit our website. You know what? We're looking for people to join us in unity and peace and reconstruction of the black society.
And what's that website?
And that is www.aaasm.org. And we are the Association of African American Single Mothers. And we hope you have fun while I get caught acting stupid, because that's what life is all about.
There you go.
Because what's our new theme? What's our new theme?
Unity,
peace, and reconstruction of black society. Look, you know it by heart. Sun to the shade, baby.
Right on.
That was, what what was it? Sun Through the Shade. And that's what we try to be here on The Diary every Sunday from 3 to 4. This is your host. And I think I sounded like I said a hoe before, so don't get it mixed up. I know somebody was laughing. No. Okay, hoe stuff.
So that's not right then.
No, I ain't your hoe. All right? No, I don't do that. All right? Anyway, this is your host, Stacy Johnson, the director of the Association of African American Single Mothers, and I am here with my co-host, Ray. And my beautiful daughter is here also, but she's choosing to stay incognito, because when you look that good, you just don't just mix yourself up with everybody.
That's true.
So that's my daughter. She's here with my grandson Elijah, here and her mom having fun. So I told her it's all about having the fun. Mm-hmm. So what we're gonna continue on now that I went through my little stuff early. We're gonna continue on with stats on blacks. Okay, and that's what I call it: stats on blacks.
Stats on black.
And this I got off my website because I researched this many, 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 many moons ago and posted it for people to see because, you know what I mean, like I said last week, you know, when you're a logical person, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, you know.
Right.
1 + 1 = 4.
Well, for me it does.
No. after some medication, maybe after a trip to the dentist. But other than that, no. So when I started on the quest of the association, it's like, okay, well, these are obvious things that bother me. And then on top of it, I have two sons that, you know, I equated all this stuff to seeing my young sons who are men now. That, and I have to say, I've had problems with my boys this week because they are they're brats. And, you know,
and they're trying to find their own way.
And they got to find their own way.
Young people and especially young men are,
you know,
extremely.
And the one thing I have to say is that even with my own sons, you know, they have that tendency just to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can understand where that anger comes from. And they know, don't nobody understand more than me. But that's not a reason to express that. You don't take that as an excuse to do anything wrong.
Right, right.
You know, so they bickering with their older sister that love them more than I do and understand them. I was like, you know, you messing up with your sister. It's like you burning your own house
back.
And then being mad at the house that it burnt when you set it on fire.
Uh-huh. You know, it's been wonderful to them.
You know, I mean,
Absolutely. Totally.
You know, so they like in the doghouse.
Wow.
You know, and somehow it ended up being my fault.
Well, it's good that they're learning with a woman, their sister, that will probably love them unconditionally.
Well, no, she said, "They're mom." I'm like, no, just like we are family, you know. But you know, it's like. Like I said,
it's just love, not like.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's like you burned your own house down. I said you burned your own house down and mad at the house that it burned. So don't come calling me.
That is great. You know, you should get like a t-shirt.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm a logical person. 1 + 1 = 2. How are you going to burn your own house down and then be mad that you can't live in it tomorrow? You know what I'm saying? Come on, stupid. So
put that motto somewhere on the site.
Right. I'm going to have my sons are going to tattoo it on their arms.
Oh,
and get out there, this is the doghouse. Okay, so stats. Let's do this quick.
Okay
so I'm going to read pretty much because if I can read my own writing. Okay, the African-American male in the criminal justice system, really. Mm-hmm. And this is, there's nothing new as of after 04. So this is all old stuff, but, you know, nothing's big has changed to improve it.
Right.
You know what
I'm saying? Probably gotten worse.
Right, definitely. It's probably gotten worse.
Mm-hmm.
So 1999 is where this says there were 757,000 black men in federal, state, or local prison. So 604,200 enrolled in institutes of higher learning. So 700 plus men were in jail when only 600 plus were enrolled in institutes of higher learning.
Wow, yeah. No, I've seen the updated stat.
Very much the same. There were 25% more men in prison putting their futures on hold, in my opinion, than working on a promising future in 04. In 04, 41% of all inmates were black, and it's higher now, while making only 14% of the total population.
Okay.
So total population, black men make up 14%, but 41%+ in prison is that population.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So my thing is, in the research and the study shows, my thing is, don't tell me black men are more susceptible of committing crime. We're not. But when we do, You know?
You get incarcerated.
You get incarcerated. You get higher sentences. You get all of that. So that's what we try to teach the boys now. It's like, yeah, okay, yeah, you might have done it or whatever, but that's why you got to stay out of it, because if you touch it, you're in it for life. Okay, here we go. That same year, African Americans made up 3 times the prison population than Hispanics and 7 times that of whites. In 1999, a study labeled the crisis of the young African-American male and the criminal justice system by Mark Lauer. He was the assistant director of the Sentencing Project. It details in great length the epidemic of the black male in the criminal justice system. This report was prepared at the request of the U.S. Commission of Civil Rights and reports the following. A series of studies have demonstrated that the race of both the victim and offender has significant impact on determination of a sentence of death as opposed to life in prison. And the report states that murder defendants charged with killing whites face 4.3 times greater chance of receiving death than those charged with killing blacks.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so
yeah.
This is here in America.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
The report further reports that African-American males have suffered disproportionately from all social ills. These have included education, housing, employment, like we know now.
Mm-hmm.
The national unemployment rate is 9%, 9-point-something. For black men, it's 30%.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Right.
That's more than 29,
3 times. Right, exactly.
Wow.
So that's so you think, well, okay, is it because they're not educated? Yeah. But on top of it, nobody wants to hire a black man, because the black man has such a negative stigma associated to him. And if anybody thinks that he doesn't because we have a black president, that's white
right,
people
exactly.
trying to confuse
so
everybody
true.
Else.
And pretend like the things are all
oh,
well.
Oh, it's great now.
Over.
Well, you have your black president. You're you know. Yeah, he's mine. Yeah.
But he actually said that.
Right, right. So
somebody who thinks of me as a friend.
Right, of course. Yeah. I mean, come on now. Anyway, the report says that males have suffered disproportionately from social, including education, housing, employment, we did that one, health care, among others. Perhaps in no other area, though, have these problems been displayed as prominently as in the realm of crime and criminal justice. These conditions now disproportionately affect African American males and other minorities due to their overwhelming numbers within the criminal justice system. The state of these disproportions can be seen in the following. 49% of prison inmates nationally are African American, compared to their 13% share of the overall population. There are nearly 1 in 3, 32%, black males in the age group of 20 to 29 is under some form of criminal justice supervision on any given day.
Wow.
Okay, so that's true because this.
Repeat that one more
okay,
time.
Okay, I'm going to repeat that. The state of these disproportions can be seen in the following. 49% of prison inmates nationally are African American compared. Okay. Nearly 1 in 3, 32% black males. This is what you're going to see. Nearly 1 in 3, 32% black males in the age group of 20 to 29. Is under some form of criminal justice supervision on any given day.
Wow.
So think of all the black men that you know.
It's a third.
Think of all the black men that you know. Probably not that you know.
It's 1 out of 3.
Right. But I was saying, this week I was trying to teach, and my goal is, you know, and call me crazy, because I'm a girl and I'm doing it, but there are no prominent black men that think to do it. Call me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I see my job as helping these black men, you know, and one that I helped this week to try to teach him how to telemarket. That was the funniest thing, and I love him. And he came every day, and he's going to do well.
Okay.
But, you know, I was talking to him about my son, Freddie, who I guess is trying to get a felony by his actions this week. But he was telling me, and he's like, man, you almost in your 20s and you don't have a felony? And he's looking at Freddie like, you are a king, man. You don't have a felony? He said, and you almost dub? That means 20, right? Dub is 20 in Negro language.
Oh, 20 years old.
Yes. And you almost dub?
Oh, wow.
And you don't have a felony? That's sad. And this young man was only 25. Oh, so, yeah, he yeah. does say he. And then when I meet his friends.
Out of three.
Right.
Amazing.
And then I met his friends, five young men. One was on his way to get his record expunged. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, you know
juvenile
what that means?
Record was a juvenile record that he wanted.
Right. And you know they got to pay money for
yes.
that. They don't just happen, right?
Oh, yes. And it
okay.
should just happen if that's
it should
the
just
law.
Happen, right? Why do I have to pay money?
If that's the law.
Right?
You know, I can understand if written into the law.
Right.
Says.
Okay. So, one was going to do that when I met her. Because mm-hmm. the other ones were wondering, what you been doing all day? Because they ain't got no job. They can't get a job. Because what? They have a felony.
Right.
Okay, so they can't get a job other than what they did to get a felony.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's explaining, man, I'm doing volunteer, and then he said community service. And to them, that means, oh, you know, you're doing community service, like getting off the bus wearing orange.
Right.
Right?
Trash
right. I'm like, no, no, no. I'm explaining, no, he's volunteering. It's not community service. So I'm explaining to him, you know, to the other ones. But they all got felonies, and they all within the age of 20 to 29.
Oh.
Okay, so let's go. Let me check my time because, you know, I'm going on.
Yeah,
okay,
good.
We good.
You're good.
All right. So, you know, I have two sons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for black men, like I tell them, you don't necessarily have to be doing anything.
Right.
You know, they stop you when you walk in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you have to, first of all, look like you don't want to be stopped. So you can't walk around all covered up looking like you got to rob the liquor store. You just can't. You just can't as a black man. Yeah, this is America, you can do what you want, but you can't.
Presentation is a lot.
It's a lot.
And that really does, I mean, of course, it's much more for
so.
For
so that's what makes me so mad, because in the 80s and 90s, Mr. Russell Simmons made so much
money
off of making our men look like trash.
Idiots.
Okay?
As a matter of fact, I saw a nice-looking, pleasant young black man, I guess I should say, but he was at the high school, you know, getting ready to cross the driveway, and he stopped and he looked at me and asked permission to cross, and I was like, oh,
polite. Yeah, right, and we're so surprised,
you know,
when our own black men are polite.
I'm surprised when any young kid is.
Well, that's true.
Personally,
that's
but anyway,
true, especially
so I said, oh, polite, and I smiled at him and I let him pass along, and I thought, oh, that was so polite, and then I looked down and he was holding up his pants right underneath his butt cheeks and showing off his boxer pattern. Not good.
Oh,
not good
God.
At all. And I had to shake my head and say to you, from waist up, you look so pleasant.
But then once you start holding up your pants,
it looks like you look dumb.
Right.
You know?
Okay, so.
Takes away credibility.
There we go. All right, so let's see what's next. Just a couple more things and then we're going to go on to those two black organizations you're going to talk about. Okay. 29 is under some form of criminal justice supervision on any given day, either in prison or jail or on probation or parole, as of representing a doubling of this rate from 1985, thanks to crack, one and three strikes.
Wow.
That's why. The 1995 figure for white males was 1%.
And what was the 1995
okay.
for black men?
As of 1995, 1 in 14, 7% adult black males was incarcerated in prison
7%.
Or jail, 7%, representing I missed that.
Yeah.
Representing a doubling of this rate since 1985. In 1995, the figure for whites was 1%.
Wow.
Seven times.
Wow.
A black male born in 1991 has mm-hmm. Now my son Christopher was born in 1992.
Right.
Okay. A black male born in 1991 has a 29% chance of spending time in prison at some point in his life.
Wow.
Just in general.
Just a rite of passage.
Right. Right, exactly.
That's ridiculous.
You know, and I look at Chris and I think, yeah.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
I love that.
But I, you know, that's why I tell him that, since he can understand. I said, you see what they got for you, son? You're born in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, right now, that's all they don't say you're going to go to college. They saying you got a chance of going to prison.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, as a person that knows that already,
mm-hmm.
you know that's what they have coming for you.
Mm-hmm.
And but yet you do the things that you do to make sure that happens. There's nothing I can do for you. There's nothing. All I can do is pray for you, like I did when I had
mm-hmm.
you in my stomach. And that's what I tell them.
Be okay.
You know, because
they have no more control over that.
Right,
stuff.
Right. Than anything, you know.
But he does.
He does. It's always, because I'm feeling that as a good mother,
right.
Unlike your father, who's not a good father, because
right.
He's living this experience.
Right.
Right.
No investment.
Right. No, you know, I'm going to be a good mother because if you end up there,
mm-hmm.
Don't expect me to put money on books. I don't do that ghetto shit. So if that's where you want, I'm letting you know. You know what I mean? Oh, are we going to see Pookie? They don't.
I didn't even
Pookie.
Know that.
Was,
that
oh,
I didn't even
Pookie.
Know that occurred. I
don't spend my
like,
Sunday going to see Pookie. I spend my Sunday praising Jesus. I'm sorry.
I just found out like a month ago that they have those accounts.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
Put.
No. And I feel bad for you, but in my son's case, both of them. That's all they have ever heard since the day they could understand and say mommy, and they knew mommy,
uh-huh.
And they knew, what's your name, Freddie? Well, as soon as you, Freddie, guess what? White Manny want to see you daddy or in jelly,
mm-hmm.
And that's been my life. Mm-hmm. With my, so if my son
right.
Figure out they want to do some dumb shit, they yeah. Know we are on our own because our mom has been warning us. If we're 19, mom's been warning us since we could talk.
And not only warning them, but you've been guiding them.
Guiding them.
Right.
The right. Showing them.
Exactly. By example and by information.
Exactly. So, you know, so we're not worried about it. You know, and I got the key or the clue for my kids that, you know, I'm responsible for their well-being, and no, I'm not. You know, I'm responsible for me. You know, I've told you everything I could tell you, and I'm not going to tell you no more. So there we go. If you want to call in, you can at 917-889-9946. But we're going to go on. Those are some stats
yeah.
On the black man in America. So that's why I do what I do, because I don't like that. I don't like my people. Like, men are supposed to be the head of everything. Well, then the head of black people looking pretty raggedy. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
All right, here we go. Three black organizations, Ray. So we're going to count on two.
Okay, good.
Two
All
or
right.
Three.
Okay.
No.
Two
or three. So you have info on
this
which
is
two.
A teeny bit. Cause I didn't,
well, no, that's fine.
I didn't even print out the handout that I have, so I'm kind of doing this off the top of my
head.
Do it. But the first one, would you want the good news
you,
or the bad
you,
news
this
first?
Is your part.
Well, okay, the bad news is that National Action Network, headed by Al Sharpton.
Oh, your boo.
No, not my boo.
Okay.
See, you know what? He puts me in.
I'm sorry.
Anyway,
I'm sorry.
Not my boo.
Okay.
Just, you know, he is got his past gone a little astray.
Okay.
And he bases it a lot in the black churches that you were talking about in the neighborhoods that weren't functioning and doing the proper action for the black people. And it just seems that with his clout, with his access to the people that he has access to, he could do far better
right.
than he's done.
Well, he's
and
like the Oprah of church.
And it's so true. When you go to his National Action Network website, it looks and reads like a volunteer church website that somebody just sort of threw up together.
All right, but let's go over real quick, though. Let me read real quick. Where's my paperwork? Because we're going to say what they're...
Okay.
They're you want to read it?
Yeah,
I'm going to do it real quick. This organization led by Sharpton promotes a modern civil rights agenda that includes just and decency for all people regardless of race, social justice for communities, and the improvement of race relations.
Okay.
So you went to the website and you
yeah.
saw...
And I saw a website that functioned poorly, that didn't address a lot of the issues that went in, that dealt with a lot of historical issues.
That he says what his purpose is on this paper, right?
Right.
Okay.
And but it dealt with historical facts. It did have a good historical timeline, but nothing for the future, really, and that's where it was lacking. He has, there is, you know, the possibility that I'll give to him that, you know, there's somebody that's related to him that is heading up the sort of new generation. Maybe it will change.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
But I didn't really like the promotion, the way that they promoted that either.
Okay.
So it left me wanting more. It left me feeling like somebody who had the access that he has should be able to do far more. And he is an eloquent writer, and he is able to present facts, and he should be doing more with that.
Good. I like that. Now, let me just get a website for everybody else. It's www.nationalactionnetwork.net.
Right.
All right. Good.
Okay.
Good deal.
Go check it out and tell me if I'm wrong. You know.
Yep. And email us. Let us know.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
And then the other one is the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP.
Okay.
And this, in different areas, people have trouble with them in different states and in different the way that they apply certain things. But looking at their timeline, you can't negate the fact of all of the work that they've done, the body of work that they've done throughout the ages. They're the oldest organization defending the rights, the civil rights of Black Americans and other Americans, even you know, in this country, and they get their props for that. But what the problem was is that in the last, say, 20 years. There's been a lot of fluctuation in its leadership,
mm-hmm.
and now they've found somebody, a woman,
yes.
that is on the forefront of everything. She has a great resume, and she looks like she's poised to bring the NAACP where it needs to be to answer the questions of today. And so I was very inspired by that.
That's good.
Yes, and I loved reading about her history. She sounds a lot like you. She sounds a lot like me and a lot like other women in this country. And so hopefully that will help her be the kind of person that the NAACP needs. And she's a mom, you know. And so, of course, like you, she had a lot to say about, you know, young Black men. And
very good.
So I think I have hope for the NAACP to continue the work that they did. They did so much in defense of us in the past, and I think that that's their future. They're showing it to be.
Very good.
My good choice.
Now, that's something good. I like that.
Good.
So
yeah.
Now we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to delve into this.
Excellent.
This,
last
13 minutes, because we're going to do it for the next month. We're going to come back and talk about the common destiny amongst Blacks and Americans. We're going to take a break. And once again, what's our theme?
Unity,
peace, and reconstruction of Black society. But,
woo!
You know what I was thinking? You know, I got to have a little clown song, so...
Mm.
You know, I thought, well, after we talk about the three Black organizations, because in my opinion, you know, I don't think they've
done the other one was the 100 Black Men, right?
Right, right. We'll get on that one next week.
Because they're on the list, and
right.
I'll do a compare and contrast.
Yeah, there we go.
Send you the information.
There we go. So right now I'm going to play Busy Doing Nothing. And this is in honor of Mr. Al Sharpton and the National Action Network.
Okay.
Busy doing nothing.
Maybe it'll give them the nudge they need.
There we go. We'll be back. right, all right. I was busy doing nothing, and that's in honor of Mr. Al Sharpton and his organization. Woo! Yes. Thank you, Al, baby. You're doing your job. Busy doing nothing. All right, this is the diary. We got a sack every Sunday from 3 to 4. Now, what we're going to talk about today and for the next probably couple weeks till we get through, because it is a really long look at our folks, and it's called A Common Destiny, Blacks in American Society.
Mm-hmm.
And this was is written by Gerald Gines and Robin Williams, and it's a committee on the status of Black Americans, and it's done by the National Research Council. So, you know, we know where Black people are, but this kind of gives an intelligent discussion of everything that's gone on pretty much from the 30s, the 40s, 50s, 60s, all the way to today,
mm-hmm.
and all of the economic and social kind of workings and everything. And as far as Black people, it looks at it in an intelligent way.
Wow.
So if you want to intelligently look at, you know, because some people don't want to take an intelligent look at the reasons why Black people are the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people want to say, oh, this is America, the white man can't keep you down no more. I quit using that as, well, you
right.
know, that, yes, he can, and he has, and he will, and he'll continue to until people start to have a little more tolerance about what different people are. And Black people start getting rid of that feeling of apathy and
right.
start to help each other.
Like,
because if
yes.
we don't help each other, nobody's going to help us.
That's true.
You know, so I like to always take intelligent looks at things.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to take us a minute. But what I've chosen to do in the whole report is to go over the summary and conclusion. You know,
uh-huh.
I already know what the deal is. I want to hear what they say as far as the summary and conclusion of Black in America, Common Destiny, what does it mean?
Okay.
A look at whatever. So that's what we're going to do.
Cool.
All right. So it says 5 decades ago, most Black Americans could not work, live, shop, eat, seek entertainment, or travel where they choose.
Mm-hmm.
Even a quarter century ago, 100 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, and that was in 1863, and I remember that because I was born in 1964, and I think, okay, minus one, 101 years.
Right.
So that's why I always remember.
Wow.
101 okay. years before I, during the, so 64 was when the Civil Rights Act was passed,
uh-huh.
right? So 101 years later, after we were free, we were given the right to whatever the rights the Civil Rights Act gave us,
uh-huh.
101 years later. You know, and that's really important.
Wow.
And so 100 years after the Emancipation Proclamation of 1863, most Blacks were effectually denied the right to vote. A large majority of Blacks lived in poverty, and very few Black children had the opportunity to receive a basic education.
Wow.
Okay? So, you know, I think about that when I think about my own father, who was born in 1912,
mm-hmm.
you know, he didn't have a college education, and I don't really know much about high school education because he was 50-something when I was born,
mm-hmm.
and he died when I was 15. So we really didn't have time to talk
right.
and need to really figure out about his life.
To
you
ask
know?
The questions as an adult that you would have
right,
asked.
That I would love to ask him
right.
now. It's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think about my own father, and I've updated my bio and stuff to reflect that. You know, my mother and father were two Black people from the South born in 1912, 1923.
Right.
They didn't have a college education, but 9 out of 11, and one, it was disabled, so she didn't.
Mm.
And she had a high-paying job when she became disabled.
Right.
You know what I mean? But 9 out of their 11 kids either holds doctorates, master's degrees, or bachelor's degrees, you know what I mean? And back in 1863, most Blacks were denied the right to vote. Black children couldn't get an education.
Wow.
That's why today, our history, you know, we need to know, because tell me, Ray, if you knew your history was, I mean, they had the right to deny you education.
Absolutely.
Do you think if you had that in your heart, as that was your history in this country and not very, very long ago,
mm-hmm.
that you would think today that education isn't the most
important
thing for your people?
Absolutely.
I mean, come on.
Yep.
You know, I mean, we need, and it's a lack of appreciation of our history.
No, it is.
You know, it is.
And
to go into that really quickly because we're short on time.
No, we're, go ahead.
But it's just to say that today is the anniversary of Bloody Sunday in Selma, the march from Selma to Montgomery that didn't take place.
I love it.
600 marchers were beaten severely trying to get to cross the bridge because they wanted to defend their right to vote. It was all about the Voting Rights Act
right,
of 1965.
Right.
And it was today, Sunday, March 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it was all about that. And so, you know, to talk about history, our children need to know that history
right.
so that they can know how important their vote is and how many people fought and died
right.
for that, for them to have that right.
And people and leaders, there are no black leaders in America today,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion, because if they were, they'd be everywhere in these black churches that Sharpton has so much
mm-hmm.
power over. They would be in there saying, hey, look, you know, do you guys realize that when we were free, they denied us education?
Mm-hmm.
Now we're denying ourselves. You know,
we're doing
their job for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's that in a nutshell.
You know, I really do think we're at that flux point. We're at that point where people are getting to the desperation
right.
that they're going to leap off and revolutionize.
And exactly.
You know, and
that's exactly right.
Exactly.
And that's why I thank God that I live in the time that I live in
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
That we can get on the radio for little or no money and tell people, you know what, our theme right now is to unify. We want to talk about peace, and we
mm-hmm.
want to talk about reconstruction of black society.
Society.
And
absolutely.
That's all we want to talk about. We're going to do it through this radio show.
Right.
So I
right.
wanted just to give just a snippet, just a bit, just a little bit of what we're going to be discussing for maybe 2 months. And this, you know, a common destiny. Blacks in American society. Okay, that's what we want to talk about. Get the history out there. Black History Month isn't just February 1st
through
February 28th. You know, it's every
Absolutely.
Day. And we are only going to have peace in the black community and unity in
mm-hmm.
the black community and a reconstruction of the black community.
Absolutely.
Only if and only when the black community takes their history to heart like we did back in the day. And this study will show you, Lorraine, that we progressed up into
That's
the
so
60s.
Cool.
After that, we were done.
And this is so appropriate, Stacey, because one of the best things about Black History Month being in February is that it's very closely to Women's History Month in March.
So we make it to Women's History.
Exactly.
That's right.
We are, and the women in the past have brought us here
right, right.
by helping to fight because it was the women on
and
the
And you know what? And you're right. My mama, Willa Mae Johnson, didn't take no shit.
Exactly.
And that's who taught me.
And it was women on the front lines registering blacks to vote
and my mama raised 6 sons. Not one of
Absolutely.
Them ever got in, was part of any of these statistics, so it can happen.
Exactly.
My dad was at work. My dad wasn't raising them boys.
It can happen.
My mom raised
It has them. Happened.
It happened.
It can happen.
So this is a diary. This is what we're talking about. Peace, unity, reconstruction of the black society. That's how we're going to do it. We're going to talk about this common destiny, blacks in American society. This is the diary. Visit the website, give us your opinion, and please go there, sign up, and let us know that you're part of this movement that we're going to begin peace in the black community, unity in the black community, and a reconstruction. Once we do all that and we for real and we all on board with that,
mm-hmm.
we are going to prosper. Money's going to flow. People are too worried about the money and then everything else. You know, until you have peace and unity within yourself, among your people, in your family, it's not going to work. So that's what we're talking about today.
And what's the website again?
Our website, the Peace and Unity and Reconstruction of the Black Community website.
It's
www.aasm. This is the Association of African American Single Mothers. This is the diary. And y'all know I love you. I love you. I love you. Give me your thoughts, and we'll see you next Sunday, boo.
Bye.